I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Support. Curtis Fleming is there on the edge of the area. Fleming for Craig Hignett. Hit it, Higgy. Higgy hits the track. Goal!
Abanelli coming alive again. Janino wants the ball played to him. Abanelli spots out.
Hello and welcome to the Borough Breakdown podcast, the opposition show. In this episode, we'll be previewing Borough's visit to QPR on Saturday. And it's slightly different this week because basically yesterday my laptop charger died a death, a little bit like Borough's season. So I can't record this as I usually do. But I still wanted to get a QPR perspective ahead of the game, so I dialed in with Clive from Loft for Words, who was on the show earlier this season, to get a perspective on Marty Cifuentes' side. Clive, the last time we spoke, it was late August, Gareth Ainsworth was in charge, you'd just lost three games in a row, and you said to me, can we find three worse teams than us? You were resigned to the likelihood of relegation. So how is the feeling now, just over 6 months on?
Well, yeah, I know we came and won at Middlesbrough that day, but I don't think anybody was more surprised about that than us. That was only that was one of two wins that we managed in the first 14 games of this season under Gareth Ainsworth. And look, Gareth's a great guy. We'll always really fondly remember him here as a player. As a manager, you do have to remember what he inherited, the mess that had been left behind by Mick Beale and the failure of the Neil Critchley period in charge and no FFP headroom to do anything about it and all of that. And I completely get that. It was a horrendous situation he took over, but we will always love him, but my God, a manager completely out of his depth with the job and with the division. And, you know, let's see what job he gets next and how he does. But potentially with the way that the sport is now, I don't think, certainly at championship level, that idea that we don't want the ball, possession can do one, we're just going to sit in our penalty area and try and shithouse teams, get 1-0s, you know, with 20% possession. I don't think that's where football is at the moment, and hopefully we'll never go back there, and Gareth will have to adapt, basically. If you look at the appointments that the Championship teams have made this year compared to last, I mean, last season, teams got out of trouble by appointing, you know, Mick McCarthy, Gareth Ainsworth, Neil Warnock got the Huddersfield job and obviously did well there. But you look at the sort of managers that are getting jobs this year, that's just not the sport anymore. And poor Gareth. I mean, it was a really tough watch by the end. I think we lost our last six or seven games under him. And there were games away at sort of West Brom and Leeds where we just didn't have the ball, didn't have a shot, didn't have a corner. And you're looking at it thinking, you know, what's the plan here? So at that stage, there definitely weren't three worse teams than us. You know, it was us and two others. And the transformation under Marty Cifuentes from then to now is just total and utter. I can't believe he's done what he's been able to do. I would have definitely had this down as the worst QPR team that I've seen. certainly one of the worst, if not the worst, in 25 years of following them. You look at them on Wednesday night against West Brom and the way they're playing for this manager now, the form they're in. I think it's one defeat in nine. I think we're top 10 in the league since he took over. We're currently in playoff form. Like I say, one defeat in nine. We've won five of those. Just won three in a row, including away at Leicester. I can't believe he's done it. I think we've potentially got a very special manager here who probably won't be around for long, but we'll certainly enjoy him while he is. The problem is, and it's just our luck, there's a few teams down there all suddenly running on takeoff power. You know, it's no longer... It looked for so long like it was going to be three from Huddersfield, QPR, Sheff Wed and Rotherham. Rotherham have obviously just gone completely, but everybody else, I mean, Sheff Wednesday have won four in a row. Millwall and Stoke have suddenly won a couple of games. You know, there's teams getting dragged in from mid-table. You're in this ridiculous situation now. There's all these teams on 38, 39, 40 points. I mean, two seasons ago, albeit with points deductions involved, 38 points would have kept you up. Well, we've got 39 already and there's still 10 games left. So it looks like it's going to be a high total needed and we're going to need to keep this form up that we're showing at the moment. I mean, looking at us on Tuesday, certainly we look well capable of being able to do that. But, you know, only needs a couple of injuries or a couple of results to go against you. But overall, under Marty Sifuentes, I can't believe the transformation. You know, the mood around the place, the way the team's playing, were good to watch, the football being played. Yeah, it's just night and day from what it was under Ainsworth.
So, as you mentioned, Gareth Ainsworth gets sacked, having only registered two wins in 14. And, yeah, one of those came against Borough, shock horror. Marty Sifuentes comes in. What exactly has Sifuentes changed to turn QPR's fortunes around?
Absolutely everything. Absolutely everything from top to bottom. The whole approach of the team is completely different now. We want the ball, you know. Ainsworth's team frequently sort of 15-30% possession in games. Sifuentes, we want to dominate the ball. Ainsworth was very defensive and Sifuentes wants to attack. It's just so much better to watch. Much higher tempo, much more ball on the floor, committing men to the attack, putting men in the penalty area. It's just night and day. Absolute complete transformation. And look, we talk about the situation that Gareth inherited, and that's right, but Marty Sifuentes came into a horrendous situation here where we were 8 points adrift in the bottom three. We'd won two of the first 14, like you say. It was mid-season. There was no transfer window open. And then when January did roll around, we've still got the same FFP headroom issue that Gareth had last summer. We went through most of the way through January saying we weren't going to sign any players at all. And at which point I did think it would be beyond even this manager to keep us up. We had another losing run over Christmas of eight games, having initially looked like we were going to uptick under Sifuentes. We then went on this other long losing run. And I was like, I just don't think this team's good enough. Certainly the strikers and the forwards, you know, are not good enough. Trying to stay up with Lyndon Dykes as basically your only striker. Sinclair Armstrong's obviously, you know, quite promising but quite raw. And then Charlie Kelman's probably not up to the level. And Rayan Colley's just a kid. Trying to stay up with those forwards, I thought would be very, very difficult. We managed to shift some of the high-earning underperformers like Andre Dizel towards the end of January. It's freed up enough headspace for us to do little bits of business. We got good loan deals on Hayden from Newcastle and Hodge from Wolves. We got Lucas Anderson from Denmark on some weird free transfer, and I think he's absolutely outstanding. I could watch that guy like all day and all night. I'm waiting to find out what's wrong with him. He shouldn't be playing for us at this level from what we've seen so far. So we were able to do a little bit of business, and the team's really, really kicked on from there. But it's all about the sort of the style of the team, how it looks now, how it feels, the mood around the place. The ground's sold out every week because people want to watch this kind of football. Whereas before, you know, even the games we won under Gareth, I mean, Middlesbrough was probably the best of the performances under Ainsworth. Even the games we won were mostly smash and grab, backs to the walls, shithousey, you know, 1-0 against Watford, 2-1 at Cardiff, 2-1 at Burnley, when we famously had something like 10% of the possession and your central midfielder had 0% pass completion and stuff like that. So even the games you won under Ainsworth were a real chore. Whereas Cifuentes, he plays the sort of football that goes quite well at QPR. You know, it's not passing for passing's sake, sort of Russell Martin's death by 500 passes a half. You know, it's passing with a purpose. We go forward with width and we commit men to the attack. It's good to watch, quite exhilarating. Some of the playing around at the back with the players that we've got can be a little bit hair-raising and terrifying, but I'll live with that, with the results he's getting. He plays football as I like it to be played and as I think a lot of QPR fans like to be played. He's incredibly popular, as you would imagine, given that what we were watching before to now, and he's doing it with pretty much the same players. Like I say, I know we added a couple in January, but it is the same team that I'd just written off as the worst team I'd ever seen, and this manager is able to get a tune out of it. So, I mean, one thing we have learned from this season more than any other is that managers do matter.
Absolutely. So what have the key differences been in personnel between Gareth Ainsworth and Marty Cifuentes? And I suppose, has there been a standout performer under the latter?
One of the things that Cifuentes has had at his disposal, which Ainsworth didn't, and I guess Ainsworth would point to this and say, well, if that had been the case for me, things would have been better, is that Jake Clark-Salter, who we signed from... Chelsea, had been on loan at Coventry a couple of summers ago and has basically been injured ever since, and was generally seen as a typical QPR signing where you let Yoann Barbe go, who'd played 100 consecutive games very consistently, and you replace him with a guy who's never fit. Jake Clark-Salter has finally got fit and got in the team. I think he's done 14 or 15 league games in a row now, which is his best run for us. Alongside him, Steve Cook is now fit and playing every week, and his stats this season are mad. Like, I think he's 9 of our 10 wins he's started, something like 8 of our 9 clean sheets he's started. I think he's only lost one of his last 13 appearances. So, you know, Gareth would tell you, if I'd had those two fit, it would have been different, I'm sure. I don't think it would have been. But so Cifuentes has had those two fit and available at centre-back, which has made a really, really big difference to us. Like I say, Isaac Hayes, the other problem we had previously was the centre of midfield was terrible, and that's where they focused the business that they did do in January. So you've got Isaac Hayden there, who I'd never really sort of paid very much attention to. He's a bit sort of championship bot 3.6 to me. You know, he moves around often on loan, chunky contract at Newcastle, but what does he actually do? And then you get him in the team and you're like, ah, well, that's what he does. Similarly, Little Hodge, who's come from Wolves as an Irish youth international, actually runs up and joins the attack, runs beyond the ball and tries to score goals. I mean, perhaps Hayden and Hodge aren't that brilliant, and like I said in the previous answer, this Lucas Anderson that we've plucked from obscurity in Denmark, a relegated team in Denmark, just looks absolutely outstanding to me. I just, never a pass wasted, clever switching of play, dictating things from the 10 position. I think he looks exceptional. Now, whether that's just because we've spent the previous 2 years watching Andre Dzel do the square root of fuck all, and anybody that would play central midfield would look better than that, so these guys look like gods because of what we were watching before, I don't know. But there may be something in that. But you are now seeing things like Ilias Chair is scoring goals from inside the box. I think one of his previous 12 had been from inside the box, because he just specialises in ridiculous long-range goals, doesn't he? But I know the XG evangelists don't like that. And suddenly, Ilias Chair's last 4 goals have all been from inside the box. Sam Field, goals from central midfield was obviously a big area that we could improve. Sam Field suddenly scored twice in the week following into the penalty area. So you're seeing players that weren't playing particularly well before or had limitations before improving under this manager. He hasn't managed to do that with Lyndon Dykes, but, you know, he's only human. But, you know, Chris Willock, who loves playing Middlesbrough, I know, so I'm sure you guys are fed up of him, but he'd been poor for quite a long time. Jimmy Dunn had been poor for a good year, and suddenly these players are coming in and looking energised and playing well. So he's getting the best out of what he's got. The two centre-backs, I would say, are the standouts. Jake Clark-Salter and Steve Cook are a really good base for the improvements.
Any weaknesses that Borough could target on Saturday?
Well, look, I know you guys like to buy a QPR goalkeeper, so if you do fancy popping down and taking Asmir Begovic off our hands, that would probably be appreciated. Look, we're playing so well at the minute, and the mood's lifted after just the grimmest 2 years of football, so I don't want to be too negative. I mean, I know it is usually the thing that I do. I go on people's podcasts and just coat off QPR. In my defence, there's been a lot to coat off. At the moment, the feeling's very positive, so I don't want to dwell on the negatives. However, I do feel that Begovic feels like a bit of a liability, both when we've got the ball. Cifuentes does like to play out from the goalkeeper, and Begovic is ropey with it. It's improved a little bit lately by us putting Jimmy Dunn as an unorthodox right back, because it has given Begovic an opportunity to just chip an out ball to the right, and you've got a centre back out there now, so he can win the headers there. So we do have that out ball, which we needed. But for me, he's conceding goals he should not be conceding. The one at Leicester last weekend is the latest in, for me, a growing list of examples of, you know, basic saves that should be made. We massively got away with one in a game again over Christmas where it slipped through his fingers and rolled down to the goal line and was cleared. He'd got to that stage of his career where obviously he's gone to do the bench sitting thing where you pick up money. You know, he didn't play that much at Chelsea. He had a season at Bournemouth in the Championship, but he's been sitting on the bench at Everton. And look, we've seen goalkeepers go away and do that at the end of their careers. You know, all sorts of goals. Cudicini did it, Robert Green, Richard Wright, famously, who is just a professional reserve goalkeeper in the end, Dudek. Also, Alex Smithies, who was brilliant for us, then went and, you know, did bench sitting at Leicester and whatever. That's fine, you know, picking up money at his age and whatever, at that age, fine. But I don't know if there are many examples of a team that have actually brought one of those goalkeepers back from that situation and said, you're my first choice now. And frankly, the way Begovic has played for us this season, I don't think many teams will be doing it in the future either.
Finally then, we all love a stab in the dark and a prediction. So, Clive, what are you going for Saturday's game?
Well, I can't predict a win because that'll just curse it and the lads on my message board will absolutely kill me. So I'll say a draw with the standard Chris Willett goal against Middlesbrough. But we need wins. We need wins, plural. And we certainly need to win while everybody's fit, because we've only got one injury at the moment, I think, Ryan Colley. Jack Colback's back this weekend off a two-game ban. So while the squad's fully fit, we need to be winning because it's still quite a thin squad and there's no guarantee over the next 10 games that we're not going to pick up injuries to key players. If Cook were to get injured, Clark, Salter, people like this, Chair, then you'd have a problem again. So while the squad's fit, we need wins. And while the squad's playing well, we need wins. We played so well against West Brom on Wednesday. That's our best performance for a good couple of seasons, I think. Possibly since the 3-2 away win at Middlesbrough under Warburton, when we all thought we were going to go on and win promotion and whatever, and obviously that didn't happen. So it's as well as we played for so long, but we didn't win the game. Some ridiculous incidents in that game, like Kipre punching the ball off the line and the referee not seeing it, Darnell Furlong's goal line clearance, a missed penalty, a disallowed goal. So lots went against us and we had to settle for a draw. We played so well in that game. The situation we're in, when we're playing that well, we've got to win games. So that was 2 points dropped. If we reproduce anything like that performance on Saturday, I'd be very, very confident. But having put a whole lot into the win at Leicester, then poured our heart and soul into that West Brom game, I'm sort of a little bit worried about how much we're going to have left in the tank tomorrow. Being able to reproduce that from Wednesday is going to be the challenge. If we do, then I think we'll get the result. We do struggle in three-game weeks, though, so, you know, I am a bit nervous and just looking at that league table just brings me out in hives. It's terrifying. So I'll sit on the fence and say draw and the usual Chris Willett goal against Middlesbrough. But we need wins, certainly more than Middlesbrough do. So I'm rather hoping you lot might be on the Mykonos Highway tomorrow a little bit. Fingers crossed. Anyway, nice to speak to you again. Cheers.
So there we have it. That was all of your QPR insight in a podcast. A massive thank you to Clive for helping out with this. I know I had to stitch some things together to essentially make this makeshift episode, but I really do appreciate his insight. If you want to catch Clive's content, he's on Twitter at Loft4Words. There's also a link in their Twitter bio, and we'll pop it in the description of this episode as well, which links to their website on the Fans Network, which includes a message board and where all the articles are housed as well. So that was all for today's preview episode, and we'll be back on Sunday, hopefully reviewing back-to-back wins for the Borough. Up the Borough Breakdown.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.